You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
No doubt about it, understanding our world and how it ticks or doesn't involves a deeper understanding of all the sections, divisions, subsets, and groups that truly make up a country. And that includes, as a new book points out, the 45% of Black women and men in the U.S. that have never been married and that represent a compositional shift in the Black middle class. So let's get to it with Dr. Chris Marsh, associate professor at the University of Maryland. Her book, The Love Jones Cohort, Single and Living Alone in the Black Middle Class, is with us. She joins us via Zoom in Maryland. With us as well, Bloomberg Media Editorial Head of Inclusive Programming, Shartia Brantley. She is also Deputy Bureau Chief here at Bloomberg News. She's in our studio. Dr. Marsh, so great to have you here with Shartia and myself. Shartia, bringing you and your book to our attention, so we're grateful to her for that. The title, Shartia knew what it meant. I didn't. It came from a movie, so explain it. The Love Jones Cohort, what it's all about.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be with you today. So the Love Jones Cohort, the title comes from a movie called Love Jones. When we think of like the quintessential Black middle class family or upper Black middle class family, we often default to the Huxtables on The Cosby Show. But the Love Jones is where we started to see a demographic shift away from married couples to young Black professionals who weren't married and didn't have any children. So the demographics in the movie Love Jones is who I'm really trying to talk about in the book. And cohort is nothing more than a demographic term that means a band of people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm flipping through your book, and I cannot wait to read it page by page from beginning to end. And in many ways, it feels like a textbook, but it has a lot of personal stories. Just reading the profiles of the more than 60 people you spoke to, I felt like I know them because many of them are people that I know in my life, my family mm-hmm. members, my friends. And your book has been described as, quote, a structural understanding of how identities of race, class, gender and singleness reconfigured the Black middle class. So can you break that down for us, Dr. Marsh?
Absolutely. So a lot of times, especially like in Black America, you have professional Black women, and people often ask the professional Black woman, why aren't you married? Why don't you have any children? And so if we're not careful, it becomes a very individual conversation. And so people in the cohort will feel like something's wrong with me. I'm not married. I don't have any children. Woe is me. Something's wrong with me. And so I'm trying to move it away from an individual conversation to a way more structural conversation to suggest that structural forces constrain our personal choices. Put differently, racism constrains our dating pool. So if I, Chris Marsh, with a PhD, wants to marry a heterosexual Black man with another PhD, my dating pool is constrained. If I want to marry a Black man with a PhD who owns a home, I'm constrained. PhD with a home and has estate planning, I'm constrained. So it's a structural argument that we need to think about when we talk about singlehood. We can't just keep it at the individual level. And that's what the book really tries to do.
Chris, what's the difference between single Black individuals and single white individuals? Because I would argue that there's a fair amount of white individuals who feel the same thing, that they go to a family reunion and they're like, wait, you're not married? What's wrong with you? Or, you know, what's going on? So what's the difference? Right. And why is it important that you're writing about this and singling it out?
Right. So that's a really great question. And so the point is that this book is for everybody. It's not just for people that are single and living alone in the Black middle class. It's for anybody who has been single. And for the record, we've all been single at one point in time. And it's just for us to think about singlehood in more nuanced kind of ways. Now, I inserted myself into the conversation at the Black middle class junction, because what happens is that these are people who have, quote unquote, done everything right. They've gone to school, got big degrees, got big salaries, got big houses, or have big houses, but they don't have the MRS degree in some cases for Black women. And so it's important that we understand the social context. We do have a rise in singlehood across the board, but I would argue that maybe some people are coming to singlehood by choice, and some of them are coming to singlehood by force. Regardless of how they're getting there, we need to have a more nuanced conversation about singlehood and destigmatize singlehood. People don't want to hold the title of single that they're going to get into relationships that are oppressive, unfulfilling, toxic, abusive, simply because they don't want to hold the title of single. So I'm trying to destigmatize singlehood and have people stand confidently in their singlehood, regardless if you're Black, white, pinstripe, or purple.
Mm-hmm. Now, I feel that your book works to counter the narrative that, you know, Black women need to be married and be a part of a, you know, two-person household in order to, you know, uphold the economic stability of the Black middle class. What has been the response to your book so far? What are you hearing?
So that is really a great question. And some people, and I get hate mail, some people are like, you're bad for Black America, and you must be a man hater, and so on and so forth. I explicitly say in the book that I am not anti-marriage. I am all about marriage. I'm all about love. I'm all about Black love. However, if it's done right, everything that we consume is catered to a marriage and a partnered market. Big screen, small screen, social media. And so sometimes people will just get into relationships because they're conditioned to think that's what I absolutely need to be in. And I'm saying, hold on, wait a minute. There are people that are single. They're very happy in their singlehood, and they're learning how to live full lives and have wonderful lifestyles. So let's talk about their lifestyles. Let's not leave the conversation at, why aren't you married? Why don't you have any children? Because that's a very deficit model. Let's talk about what you are doing and how you're navigating singlehood. And one of the things that comes up, a reoccurring theme, is that friends play a central role in how they navigate their singlehood lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I just think back to some of the conversations I've had in my own family over the holidays.
And you're living this, right? A little bit.
I have lived this, the questions, you know, why aren't you doing this? And you accomplished so much. You know, I went to college and obtained two masters and a bachelor's, and then I still get, but you're not married and you don't have any children. So, you know, what are you doing?
We've come so far and yet we haven't. Hey, listen, we just have about a minute left here. What do you hope people who are listening take this conversation and what actions do you hope come out of this? And again, just got about a minute left.
Three quick things. One, I want us to destigmatize singlehood. I want people to stand confidently in their singlehood and don't think they have to be partnered or married. Two, I want you to ask married people, why are they married? And stop asking single people why they're single. If you're going to ask single people why they're single, you better
why are you married?
Right. Ask them and wait for a coherent response. And then more importantly, I want us to think about how we define family. Mm-hmm. And so if you're single and living alone, why can't you be a family of one? There's advantages to being labeled as a family. A benign example would be a cell phone family plan. I can't get a cell phone family plan. I want a discount on my one phone. Right. A more egregious example would be the tax structure. There is a singlehood penalty that's built into the tax structure. Dorothy Roberts wrote a great book, The Rightness of Wealth. And she argues that we should all file as single. And I'm like, if we can't all file as single, we should all be able to file as family. And I want to be able to file as a family of one.
We have talked with her.
Oh, Dorothy Brown.
Yeah, exactly. And talked about her book. What a treat. Thank you so much. Dr. Chris Marsh over at the University of Maryland. Her book, The Love Jones Cohort. Such a treat. And our thanks to our Shartia Brantley as well. This is Bloomberg Radio.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.